Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
You're listening to a Mint podcast, brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hey guys, I'm Aprajita, your Why Not Mint Money podcast host. And today we have come up with a special episode on the occasion of Mother's Day. We are celebrating Mother's Day on 12th May, the coming Sunday. And in this special episode, we have decided to discuss the financial life of single mothers, the challenges they face, the way they invest, and how they secure the future of their children. I have with me a special guest, Sheila Shree. She is a Bangalore-based entrepreneur. She is founder of an executive search consulting firm, Search Partners.
Welcome to Why Not Mint Money, a personal finance podcast where we help you understand basic money concepts and share strategies for you to build your wealth. So let's get started with your money journey.
Welcome, Sheila.
Thank you, Aprista. Thank you so much for inviting me to be part of the show. Yeah.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to
you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, Sheila. I have already introduced you and what you do currently. But what about your background? What all have you done in the past? If you can take us through your journey and about bit about your family.
Yeah. So I'm 54 years old and I have a daughter who's 33 now. And I was married when I was 17 and a half. I had my child when I was 20. And literally we grew up together. And Today we are more friends than... I can say friends. She advises me on my business. She advises me in many parts of, because she heads e-commerce for her firm. So I take her advice in many things I do. So while that is happening, So to take you back, I've been single for 20 years now. More than 24 years now. Sorry, 24 years I've been single now. I was divorced when my daughter was about 13 years old. And I started my career when I was 25. I just waited for my daughter to be 4 years old before I started, because I didn't want to leave her alone and I didn't really have too much of a family support, because my mom was again a single mom and she was working. She was a young mother too. She was also in her 40s when I was in my 20s. So she had a career going and she did not, so there was basically no support system for me. So I had to leave her with the child, with a caretaker, and I started working for a NBFC by name, Alpic Finance, the reverse of Cipla is Alpic. So I was working with them. I was just a plain graduate, BA graduate, and I did not have any experience in NBFC, but I desperately needed a job because we come from a very lower middle class background where, you know, husband and wife had to work to, you know, run a family. Since I came from that background and I did not have money, while I was in my college, I had become pregnant and I had my child. I had literally no work experience. So while that happened, I went and joined Alpic and I said, give me any job. So they put me on reception and I was lucky that a lady who was supposed to handle fixed deposits didn't join. And I was a localite. I knew how to speak Kannada. So it was more me going and speaking to all the vendors who are brokers, who are mostly the localites. So it was easy for me to move to that role very well. And then I kind of hit off well and I did extremely well. And I was heading, when I left, I was heading fixed deposits for Karnataka, which was 23 branches I was handling in Karnataka. Nice. Set up branches and all of that. And thanks to Alpic, they really took care of me. While that was happening, and we were very poor people. We did not have fridge those days. We did not have washing machine. I went and I remember signing a 20-page document to buy a refrigerator and a washing machine. But those were the days, and those were the days when you had to apply in Tatkal to get a phone connection in your house. And if you had a phone, you were like happening. so those were the days when I did all of that. And we were having, family was struggled, you know, hardworking family, both of us struggled to bring up our child. And, you know, it went on very well. Until, and then career-wise, I moved from Alpic Finance to head Alliance Capital. I was a regional head for Alliance, and it's a mutual fund company. When mutual fund had just come into India, so I went and joined their organization. And I stayed with them for more than close to 2.5 years. And then by then, my daughter was 10 years old. And I didn't know, like, I really wanted to spend time. I was feeling guilty as a mother, saying I need to spend time. While I quit and sat at home from 16 hours to doing nil, I completely got into depression. I didn't know what to do with my time. And my daughter didn't even bother if I was there at home. I made cookies for her, all kinds of things. She just didn't bother. She used to come home, change, and she used to go off playing and come back. And as usual, she was doing her thing. And then we had a family business. So my husband said, why don't you come and join my family business, and went and joined them. Such a disaster that my marriage broke. So for me, the learning was two human beings have different ideologies, no matter what. And I would advise every woman, never ever be part of a business where your ideologies don't match. You are great as husband and wife, but your ideologies, what you look towards life will be completely different. And most of the time it doesn't work. I think it was true for me then and for me now. Yeah, sorry.
So a lot of couples now, they start up together. They build businesses together, co-entrepreneurs. So your take on it, in many cases it has...
So if you look at it today, when they become entrepreneurs, they will have completely two different... So they all come from the same background, socioeconomic background, one. And two, if you always look at it, they will do two different roles. So one will be finance and one will be in sales.
Correct.
Nobody is going to be the same. If you are in the same, you're just going to break. I don't think it will ever work anywhere. So I would also say today, if you are doing something together, great, but have two different roles completely with the common goal of a business which has to be, you know, be successful. But if you're joining a family business, I would still say don't do it.
All right. It's already set up.
It's a setup. They haven't, they followed it, and people are different there. And just, you want to try to come into this family business, bring your own ideologies, your ideas of sales, your ideas of marketing, it's never going to work.
Not gonna work. True.
Okay. So I think the family business is different. But if you're a startup entrepreneur today, that will be great because you both come from same ideologies. And what happens is two different roles. If you have, then the business will grow. But imagine two husband and wife in sales. Oh my God, that would be a disaster. So yeah.
And how old was it when your divorce happened?
She was about 12 and a half she was,
okay.
So I kind of my divorce happened, and then I said I did not take any alimony because We split the assets. So assets, I had some home to live. So that was enough for me because I knew I could work and take care of my daughter. So I took off my, took the asset and then walked out of that relationship. In fact, I did not have money when I left him. And I remember I didn't even get a lawyer. I said, I requested him if I could use his lawyer because it was a mutual concern. And I know that lady, old lady had even requested, you know, poor thing counseling, saying that, are you sure you want to do this? I said, I'm very sure. Just let it break this. That's all I want because I don't want anything from him. I just want my daughter. So I was very clear what I wanted to do. But I was also stupid those days because you were young. You didn't realize what it was. The trauma was so big. The relationship was so toxic. I just walked out. But the reality was when I was looking for a job and, you know, I had to take care of my child who had a certain lifestyle. And, you know, you deny the lifestyle. Poor child, she had to go through the same difficulties what I had to go through, which was not fair. That was one thing I regret even today. But however, I saved her from such toxic environment. That was, I said, forget the financial, economic. So the toxicity was taken away. I remember we went to a supermarket. She was, those days, I don't know if you remember, there used to be Pringles, one chips dabba Pringles.
Back then, even
very expensive. She used to go and hold that and come. And I was so ashamed that I couldn't tell her, please put it back. I couldn't afford Pringles. So those are the journeys I went through. And then, you know, so that happened. And then, I didn't have a job, so I had to go to my previous boss and I said, can you help me? And then there was Loai, my ex-boss, who today runs Money Matters, who used to run Money Matters. So we started another division where we did broking for real estate. So I started that. I made one mistake, was I was not a partner with him, but his wife also, which was the biggest mistake I made in my life. I was desperate. I did not have money. So I went and there was money. After that, 1 year down, there was so much money. But, you know, when I had to split it between the three, I broke. I was very upset. And a big learning for me there is, and I advise women, no matter how desperate you are, just be careful on what is the kind of partnership you get into. So I left that. I went looking for a job to a headhunter. The name of the organization was Headhunters. I went and spoke to him about my journey. And he said, why don't you come and join me as a partner? And I joined them as a partner. And I did extremely well for 7 years. Though it was a recruitment firm, which is more of HR, I did not understand HR. But what I understood is businesses. So I used to work with entrepreneurs. I used to help them. I understood their business and their pain point. And we used to provide leaders for their business solutions. So hence, I did very well. I thought my sales experience through my life helped me to do well in that particular role. So 7 years up in the organization, I didn't see, I hit a glass ceiling. I didn't know what to do. He was not giving me anything beyond this. And he was a toxic boss. So I said, I couldn't deal with that relationship. I said, I want to quit. And
that is nice to hear. That's amazing success story that you have.
Yes.
So now a bit about your investments also. So earning money is one thing, having money, liquidity in savings account is one thing, but planning for your future, for your financial goals, short-term goals, long-term goals, entirely a different matter. So how did you plan about it?
So I was working for a mutual fund company. I was in one of the best mutual fund companies and I had some saving, but when I quit my job, I just took it and kind of spent all the money. But after that, when I, and we are typical South Indians, you know, everybody wants to have assets. We don't believe in liquidity or we don't believe in equity. So or anything in, so even though you worked, we didn't understand all of that.
Okay.
Though I worked in a mutual fund company, for me, having assets is more, was more, because that's ingrained in us, because we don't believe in, unlike the, savings in or fixed deposits, max I could go is fixed deposits, not beyond that. So most of my investments while I was in a little bit in mutual funds, but more in asset and fixed deposits. So I believed in that. So I bought some 5 sites in Dharwad and those kind of things I did. I still invest so much in mutual funds. But then while I was doing my own business, I think I started SIP and then I've continued to be in SIP. So my funder is, if I hire one employee for my organization, I should have 6 months salary for them. If I don't have, I don't employ anybody. So that was the funder from the day I started, so that any person who comes in will take so much time. So I give them 6 months, then they earn their own money. So that was it. And now I'm invested in mutual funds. And in life insurance, I have to share one very bad story. So while I had just left my husband, and then there was this friend who was an LIC officer who came and advised, saying that you should plan your retirement, and there's some stupid schemes where I pay 25,000 even today per month, where it's going from
month, 25.
Yeah, per month I pay 25. I used to like cry. I didn't have money. I used to cringe, bring everything and put it into that, because I wanted to save it for my daughter if something happens to me. Because we are at single, you suddenly get scared that
and
if you die tomorrow, who's going to be there?
How much was the life cover in that policy?
So, I have some 30 policies where it is going to mature from 2025. So I started in 2009, and it's maturing from 2025. So I'll get 1.5 lakh, 1.5. So every year it's going to, till I'm 75, I'm going to get one policy is going to mature every year. And it will be around, I think, maximum 1.5 lakh I'll get per year.
Per year you'll get
1.5 lakh.
Multiple policies.
You know, I pay 500, 600, 300, 800, 5,000. It all put together, it comes up, quarterly 25, monthly 15. So one big 10 lakh policy higher. But otherwise, everything is 1.5 lakh, 2 lakh I get every year. So, you know, we don't read through those lines. In 2009, 1 lakh was a big money for me, because I was earning 20,000 rupees, right? And today, it's like, I'm still paying. Last year, I decided I can shift the same money to mutual funds. So I wanted to surrender the LIC policies. I went to do it. Actually, I was losing money. I was not getting any money.
Yeah, on surrender, you don't get money. You
don't get any money. Lose money. So I don't have a choice but to pay for it. So I kept it thinking, why would I want, when I've paid for bloody 15 years, now why should I do it? It's too long. So I just left it at that.
Surrendering policies is money in the early age of policy period. Otherwise, when you are closer to maturity, then no point surrendering. But that's the challenge. What made you buy those policies, if you can explain?
No, I'll tell you what made me.
And that's
emotional, because I was in a fear
How much life cover you could get through these policies, because you
all put together it must be about 60 lakhs.
Okay.
60 lakhs. So I said, okay, 60 was very big money, and I thought I'm going to die tomorrow or day after tomorrow, because at that point there's no family support, there's no friend support. What do you do? And you don't have great money, you're just earning my paycheck to paycheck.
Were you aware about term insurance back then?
Oh no, I mean, it was a friend who advised. I said whatever he advised, I went by that. It was emotional decision, because it came from place of fear. It was not from place of understanding.
Because had you bought term insurance in 2009, it would have been very cheap.
It would have been,
such a high income for your daughter. So how
then
did you
learn
steps important? So how did you eventually manage to? Did you go to any financial planner, registered investment advisors, or you
No, not really. I learned it the hard way. Then, so insurance was covered. Then came your life, medical insurance, right? Because that's also extremely important. So I used to have this government, which was that I don't know, one of the government policies I had. Hmm. I can't remember which one of those. And that's then when I, yeah, one I had some gynecological issue and I had an operation. I got 40%. I was like, ready? It was I was like shocked, saying that how could it? And then, and in between, I couldn't, because I already had some 7-8 years premium. So you know, you lose out on it. And then one day I finally took a decision saying, forget it, even if it goes. And then I switched to ICICI Lombard, I think. I'm with ICICI Lombard. Yeah.
Switched as in buying a new policy, or did you port?
No, I just let that. No, there was no option. Those days, there was no porting option. So I completely left that and started ICICI Lombard. So it was like restarted my, health insurance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, waiting period. Yeah. So yeah, good. I started with the 25 lakhs now. And finally, it was about 1 crore I did. And then, now I think if you don't use the policy, I think with the bonus, I have about 4 crores in insurance in worst case scenario. Uh-huh. Yeah, so that took care of my insurance. Yeah, and mutual funds, of course, SIP. Yeah, that's going on. Yeah,
you have goal linked plans, goal linked mutual funds?
No, mutual I prefer... I prefer gold to buy gold itself. So
I meant goal-based investing. So your mutual funds are linked to financial goals, probably your education, your daughter's wedding.
Not really. So when I started in 2009, it was goal-based investment because I said retirement plan and all of that. Mm-hmm. Then I thought with the evolving... businesses, my own business, evolving business needs, I thought I couldn't really think of a goal-based plan. Okay, so what I did was every time I had money, I just put it in mutual fund and more. So I had some percentage which went into equity because I didn't want it. I mean, I spread it between equity and debt and liquid funds. So my 1 year expense for my office and personal will be in the liquid funds, and the balance is in equity and a little bit in balanced fund. Yeah, so I managed it with the mutual funds.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, and mostly active funds or index fund, passive funds, or what sort of?
It's index fund, mostly index fund. I prefer index fund. I'm not saying completely 100%, but of my equity portfolio, I think about 40% is in index fund. The rest of it is in it's a balanced other funds.
And based on your financial lessons, your own financial journey, what lessons have you taught to your daughter?
That's another interesting story I have to share. Though my daughter had seen the whole experience of what I went through and all of that, I guess she went and fell in love with a boy who was very, very rich. And she didn't understand the concept of saving. She was working. She started working very young. But... unfortunately, your partner makes such an important, difference in a person's life, because she had a partner who was completely, spending his one weekend, their parties used to be 15,000 rupees, 20,000 rupees. So unfortunately, she did not say anything. And then... and no matter how much what I told her, she couldn't understand where I was coming from. But I was very patient with her. And then the relationship broke. But one thing I was very adamant when I was bringing up as a mother is, no matter what, you will have to get your post-graduation. I was very hard on her on that one thing. I said, no marriage. She can go and live with him, but no marriage. And I pushed her very hard to go and live with him, Prajita, because without that, she wouldn't have broken that relationship. Because no matter what I told her, and I loved her too much to fight that, because I couldn't fight that. So I said, my only way I could tackle this was pushed her very hard to go and live with him. So once she lived with him, she realized what it was. And then she broke that and she became a completely different person. Now, 50% of her savings, she's 50% of her earnings she saves. And the rest of it, of course, she's learned live by your means. That's come easy. Now she understood what that means. But having said that, though you are mirroring, you are a parent and they are so close to you. They see your struggles, they've seen it, but it still doesn't come because one partner can change this whole thing.
True.
Can influence them so much is something I learned it the hard way. But yeah, she learned it the hard way too. So now I think I've driven this into her, saying that your money is your money. You can marry a partner. You find somebody, his money is your money, but your money is always your money.
So now that brings me to my next question. This was a question for young women getting married. Now, what about single mothers who just got divorced or who you had worked previously and you were very sure that, yes, you can start up and you can do something where you can work and earn and that's how you can take care of your child. But what about other single mothers? What advice would you give them if they really want to do something and they may not be earning? Then what?
Yeah, so again, when you're a young mothers today, I hardly see anybody. I see every other kid who's divorced within the age of 30 and married twice and thrice. That's the trend now. However, the young adults, I still say, if your marriage breaks for whatever reason, and you have a young child, don't be stupid to fight your parents. Take all the help from your parents, all the help from family, to ensure your child is taken care of. But you have to restart your career if you're a young adult. But then there are people who have never worked for 10 years. Where is the courage for you to get back? It's very difficult. People may say, what is this? You don't have money to eat. Go and work. It's not so easy. Because today, I run an executive firm. And I advise women day in and day out on how the careers should be shaped. Okay. So today, I'll give you an example. Today, I had a single mother I was talking to. So she is doing part-time. She's a chartered accountant by profession. She's a CFO of a company, but her daughter is 17 and she still wants to do part-time job and not want to do full-time. So I had to tell her, come on, your daughter is 17. If you're not going to let go, she's just going to move away from home next year. And what are you going to do with yourself? I said, get back to a full-time job. I said, that's the only condition I'm even going to counsel you or talk to you. So, she's a CFO for a she's doing a consulting job. So look at how our psyche of a single mother who's so dedicated to their children are still in that fear that if they go to work, my child may need me. While there are the one set of women, then I'm also talking about other women. I would say, do not be scared. Just ask for help. Ask for any job. Today, there are enough and more jobs available. Only thing is, you may not be paid the way others are paid, but start somewhere.
Okay, Sheila, lastly, your one complaint that you feel from children. So as a mother, what do you want children, daughters or sons to work on? This is something that I would want to end on.
No, as a mother, I would say we were first-time mothers, Aprijita. I've screwed up. It was not easy for me. I've screwed up in a big way. So I would say what every mother or a father should give their children is give them that connection with them, that no matter what, no matter what, your child can come. Even your child can go and kill somebody, but you should have a back, their back. They know that we have their back. I think that's the only thing I would say that every parent should give their children. One. And two, what do I expect? I expect the moon. I expect the moon. Even today, I keep, interfering in my daughter's career because I'm in that space, right? So she just gives me one sentence saying, and she says, no, please mind your business now. Yeah. I think my expectation is she has to be happy. She has to be happy. I don't care about anything. She has to be happy.
Happy in what we are doing.
In whatever you do, I'll support you. I'm going to be there. Whether she likes, that's what I said. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to be part of your life. Okay. That goes unconditionally, whether she likes it or not. But I just want her to be happy, because what breaks my heart is when she's not happy. See, she struggles. She works 16 hours a day. But if she's happy doing it, I'll be very happy. That's my expectation.
That's really a great way to put it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sheila. It has been a great conversation. And the way I wanted it, the episode on Mother's Day, it was truly that way. So thank you so
much. Thank you. And I truly appreciate this opportunity. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Have a good day.
I hope you liked the episode today. I am available on X by my handle, Apri_Sharma. And you can also look for my name on LinkedIn, which is Aprajita Sharma, and you'll be able to find my profile. For more such interesting podcasts, keep tuning into stsmartcast.com. Thank you.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HD Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.hdsmartcast.com.
Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.